Welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the first in a series looking at major financial frauds, and in this episode we are looking at one of the most infamous fraudsters in history, Charles Ponzi. Before we start, please remember to give me a thumbs up and to subscribe. Overview. If an investment deal seems too good to be true, it probably is. But when someone as charismatic as Charles Ponzi offers you the deal, it's kind of hard to remember that. A bashful, colorful Italian, Ponzi arrived in the US in the early 20th century, a time when money became the driving force in America, and get-rich schemes were everywhere. Ponzi seized the opportunity and gave people what they wanted: fast money. He used the old rob Peter to pay Paul trick and took it way too far, and after scamming the people of Boston out of $15 million, his name will forever be associated with the infamous Ponzi scheme. Early life. Charles Ponzi was born in Italy in 1882 to a poor family that was rich in name. Growing up, Charles's mom would tell him all about his family's long-lost riches. She planted a seed in her little boy's head that he would be the one to restore the family name and lift them back up to their rightful place in society. This idea stuck with Ponzi until the end of his life. Charles's parents used what little money they had to enroll him at the University of Rome, but Ponzi wasn't interested in school and he ran through all of his family's savings just to prove he was rich. The foolish spender never finished his degree. North America. Ponzi arrived in the US in 1903 and worked as a dishwasher at a restaurant, where he slept on the floor because he couldn't afford to pay the rent. He moved to Canada and found a job at a bank that was run by an Italian man named Luigi Zerassi. This encounter marked the beginning of Ponzi's money-making scheme. Zerassi offered his clients outrageously high interest rates, but he wasn't able to pay them back. So he took money from old investors to pay new ones, and as long as the money kept coming in, his customers didn't notice. But less than a year after Ponzi had come to work for him, Zerassi packed his bags and fled to Mexico with his client's cash.
Prison. When his boss took off, he was broke and forged a check for $423. The police caught him and Ponzi was sentenced to 3 years in prison on the outskirts of Montreal. 17 days after being released, he was arrested again, this time for helping Italians to cross the border from Canada into the US. He was sentenced to another 2 years in prison, this time in the US. The idea. After leaving prison, Ponzi headed back to Boston, where he met his wife, a beautiful young woman by the name of Rose Maria Necco. He started a magazine business called The Trader's Guide, but it failed as he wasn't able to sell enough ads. One day he received a letter from Spain requesting a copy of his magazine, and the request included an international postal reply coupon. A postal reply coupon could be swapped to buy stamps in any country in the world and was the only form of international currency at that time. Ponzi realized he could buy a dollar's worth of these coupons in Europe, and exchange them in the US for $5 worth of stamps to create a huge profit. This idea marked the beginning of his criminal plans. Securities Exchange Company. Ponzi had to raise money to get his plan going, so he headed to banks and asked for a loan. One bank president laughed in his face and told him his small account was more trouble than it was worth. He kicked him out of the office and told him never to come back again. Ponzi decided that if banks wouldn't lend him money, he would sell his idea directly to the public. He knew he could raise money that way, as long as he offered people a very high return. So he set up a company called Securities Exchange Company, or SEC. Ponzi told his investors he would take in any amount of money and pay them back with a whopping 50% interest in 90 days. Everyone was taken and wanted to give Ponzi their money. In his first month of business, he brought in around $1,700. After a few months, he was bringing in around $30,000 a week, and after 6 months, he brought in $2.5 million, which in today's money would be over $30 million. Financial success. Ponzi invested in several banks in Boston in order to slowly gain control over them, and he ended up owning the same bank that had kicked him out a few months earlier when he asked for a loan. He had deposited so much money into them that he knew if he were to withdraw it all at once, that would be the end of them. they relied on him, and he became the majority shareholder. Ponzi was the talk of the town and the most respected person around. He drove his locomobile car everywhere and impressed his clients with how rich he was. But at the core of all this lay a big, fat lie. Downfall. The editor of the Boston Post, Richard Grozier, felt that something was wrong and he decided to investigate Ponzi. He published an article in the Boston Post describing what Ponzi was doing. He hoped that once his actions were printed in black and white, people would understand how impossible the whole thing was. But his post just caused more people to arrive at Ponzi's office, cash in hand. Grozier wasn't the only one who was suspicious. Financial journalist Clarence Barron joined in and explained that Ponzi's returns, once calculated, were mathematically impossible. He published a paper explaining how improbable it was that Ponzi's business could make these returns. Ponzi knew he had to stop accepting money, at least for a while, until the newspapers calmed down and law enforcement stopped snooping around his business. The moment he announced he would not be accepting more clients, people lost it. There were outbreaks of violence outside his office, and people forced themselves into the building through the windows. Finally, on Friday, July 30th, the Boston Post wrote something that shut everyone up. New York Postmaster says there aren't enough international reply coupons in the world to make the fortune that Ponzi claims. That headline made it clear to everyone. Ponzi had tricked them. Conviction. Ponzi didn't wait for the police to arrest him. He went down to the station and turned himself in before anyone could humiliate him in front of his wife. Ponzi kept getting more and more charges thrown at him. He decided to represent himself and arrived to court impeccably dressed as always and amazed everyone with his sharp wit and quick responses. Despite this, he was found guilty and sentenced to 4 years in prison. He was released early for good behavior, however, 3 months later he was arrested on additional charges. This time he wasn't able to sweet-talk his way out of it and received a jail sentence of 9 years. He was allowed to go free on bail while his appeal was pending. Ponzi saw this as the perfect time to run off. He faked his suicide and boarded an Italian ship under a false name to work as a dishwasher and waiter. But Ponzi couldn't keep his mouth shut for long, and he let his secret slip to one of the passengers. The news spread on board like wildfire, and Ponzi was escorted back to prison for good. Losses. After the scheme collapsed, some lucky investors managed to get in and out of the whole ordeal quickly, with no harm done. Others got back 37% of the money they had invested, but others ended up with nothing. In total, it was estimated that the people of Boston lost $15 million in Ponzi's scheme, which would be around $180 million today. What happened to Ponzi? He was released from prison in 1934 and deported back to Italy. Rose stayed in Boston, and despite the great love between them, she divorced him because they couldn't make a long-distance relationship work. Ponzi tried to make some money off his story, writing memoirs and all that, but no one seemed to care about him anymore. He moved to Brazil in 1939 and died a decade later, at the age of 66. Before he died, he came clean to a reporter and said he never intended for things to happen as they had, and he really believed he would be able to pay everyone back. Hopefully you found this video interesting and informative. If you've liked what we said, then please give us a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for watching all the way through to the end.